Seamless. Hello and welcome to How's Your Week Been, the podcast where we talk about how your week has been. I'm Lee Wilcox, CEO and co-founder of On The Tools, a creative content agency based in the Midlands. And usually I would say at this point now, and here's my co-host Dan Lucas, but he's sniffled off sick, hasn't he? There's a bug going through this podcast. I've been ill, Jamie's been ill, now Dan's ill. Today I'm super excited though about our guest. So I'm not gonna because I've got no one to interact with, I'm gonna bring the guest in, otherwise I'm just gonna be like hammering on, aren't I? Right. So today, joining us today, we have our very special guest, an innovator, a leader, an author on business innovation, managing director of McCann World Group and McCann IO, Jacob Dutton.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
It's nice to be here.
First time into the OTT offices?
First time, very impressed. Very impressed at the bar. very impressed at the Port Scratchings. And as a hint of the TFI Fridays. About it up here.
Well, oh, that's interesting. So when we do our live shows, we started a live show on every Friday at lunchtime called Quids In.
Yeah.
12:15 every Friday. And the idea was, it's all about giving money back to tradespeople, basically. Okay. Keeping money in the back of tradespeople's pockets. And when we were coming up with the sort of like creative for it, we were like, it's got to be a mixture between the one show, Soccer AM, and TFI
Friday.
Yeah, we were like, needs to have that like raucousness of it, but we've got to get a bit of info in there as well.
You could definitely do that up here.
Yeah, so each Friday we have... This is the backdrop, the set, and this gets moved.
Amazing.
Whole office comes in. We have 25 minutes where there's a live show and everyone's shouting and shit. And then brilliant. And then we all go back to work again.
Probably should have watched that before I came.
Yeah, no, you could. Maybe one day you can come and then we'll just get drunk later in the afternoon.
That'd
it's
be
like
great.
A, not Friday as well.
We could do that right now.
Yeah, that's it. So, absolute pleasure. So you, this is interesting, isn't it? Because we, at the end of each podcast, we get our guests to bring on another guest, hopefully, and invite them in. And you are... James Sandbrook's guest request.
Yes,
so it's the first one we've had in land down the line.
Is it really?
Yeah, which is good.
So James was last week. Does that break the illusion of the podcast frequency if I say that he was last week?
Oh no, you're fine. Don't worry.
He was fine. Yeah. Okay, so
I think it was 2 weeks ago now, wasn't he? 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. James is great, a human, and he dropped me a note and said, "Do you want to do this podcast? I've seen On The Tools." Obviously sits in your face around Lee and thought
that's nice.
That sounds why not Faisley on a Tuesday.
You're only up the road, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Only in Sutton.
Absolutely.
So talk to us about what is what's the managing director of McCann World Group? What do you do?
What do I do? So I help big companies to do innovation stuff. So by innovation stuff, I mean if they've got a customer experience that could be improved, if they've got a new product that they could bring to market, if they've got an entirely new business model that they could create, we help them to do that. So big companies historically suffer from being so big that they can't move particularly quickly. They suffer from not having particularly entrepreneurial people inside them, because entrepreneurial people tend to go and do their own things. And so we try and connect them with startups who are doing really exciting things in experience design and product development, in venture creation, and try and collide those two worlds a little bit. So we're kind of the glue in the middle of that at McCann.io. And it's a pretty new thing, right? I mean, McCann World Group, world's most effective agency network, 24,000 employees.
listening to how big they are, it's scary.
There's people... at McCann in Birmingham, who I haven't and will never meet. And that's just in Birmingham. And so our little, sort of startup inside World Group is aimed at helping companies to respond to this disruptive threat that they see all around them, around sort of changing customer behaviour and changing competitors, new emerging competitors, and rapid changes in technology. It's really exciting, and I think it's great because we're not we're almost like a platform business. So we've got a network of 50,000 startups. Over here we've got a network of really great clients, and in the middle we just bring those together and invent new stuff.
I mean, it sounds like a great job.
It's really good fun.
How the bleed now did you land that?
my background is that I mean, there's a whole background before this, and we might we might get to that. I guess the before this, I'd kind of built my own digital agency.
Okay.
Spent sort of 10 years doing that. So yeah, came out of uni, went into a production agency, did that for a couple of years. Saw this really cool agency brand called 383. Met the co-founders over there. Did 10 years. Ended up becoming shareholder over there. Grew that to about sort of 40-ish people, sort of similar size to you guys. And then yeah, left around April time last year. Thought I was just gonna play some golf for a bit, watch the World Cup, watch a bit of cricket, and CEO from McCann called and said, look, you know, we want to build an innovation proposition here. And when you look at the client base and the network and the offices and the talent in there, it's just how could you say no?
Yeah, what a wicked opportunity.
Especially when your golf is crap.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's your handicap?
It worked. It got worse. It went up over the course of the summer. It was terrible.
Oh, no. Yeah, I only play probably once every like 3 years and get so frustrated going that round 18 holes. And then you just do one shot that will make you go and play again maybe at some point.
We've all got a shot. We've all got a Tiger Woods shot inside us.
Yeah.
It's just how often that happens.
See anything that keeps me going.
Absolutely.
Returning there. But so one thing we always do with guests is you have your own jingle, mate.
Now, I
never hear these, and usually Dan will be the one to play them.
Because James had a robot one.
James had a robot one in the, you know, the flip side to being human. So Dan will have done this earlier. I have no idea what it is. So okay. Shall we listen?
I mean, let's find out.
You got it lined up?
Here we go.
Jacob Duggan. Welcome to the podcast.
That's the best one yet. I'm giving him a clap for that.
That's brilliant.
He's he's outdone himself there. That is my favourite.
Yeah. I mean,
that's my favourite one yet.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have that as a ringtone as well, please.
100%. Yeah, we can get that to you. That's
amazing.
I mean, you know, it fits well with the innovation side of things. I'm into it.
Absolutely.
That was good. The other thing that we do is order food. So we order pizza every week that hopefully will get delivered by the time the podcast ends, so
Excellent.
We can get some scram.
Yeah.
We also throughout the show do a WIB points collection. So if you turn your head now, you will see a leaderboard that looks very similar to another TV show that you may have seen before.
Yeah, like a car one.
A car one, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
We have our previous four guests.
Okay.
James sitting in third out of fourth place there.
Mm-hmm.
WIB points are How's Your Week Been cryptocurrency that's coming to market soon. It's worth a lot of money. So you need to really dive in and try and get as much. Justin Morehouse, who was on last week, threw down a gauntlet and actually quizzed us and got a double or quits and won.
Okay.
So he's flew ahead.
All right, so there are options here.
There are options. You
to gamble.
You've got to be innovative and try and get some WIB points. And then...
All right.
So your pizza order, mate...
Yeah.
...will get marked with a WIB point. Or maybe you might start on a minus if it's a really weak order.
By whom? Whom does this go? Who marks this?
Me.
Thing? Okay. All right.
It's
you mark what you're
ordering. Yeah, it's just subjective.
Okay.
There's no
science.
What's the pizza order, mate?
Well, where are we ordering from?
All right.
Is
it always a pizza lover? It depends.
Where are we ordering
from? Well, it's a Pizza Hut or a Domino's, isn't it, I think?
I think...
Domino's.
I think for loads of reasons, it's got to be a Domino's.
Oh, okay, really? See, I prefer a Pizza Hut because they do the garlic dust on the... I'm a bit of a pizza lover myself as well.
Yeah, okay.
They do garlic dust on the crust, which I'm really into. But we're doing Domino's anyway because Jamie's ordering, so...
I think, for loads of reasons, I think that's a great idea. I will have...
I'm now, like, dropping on what you mean.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I think that...
That's interesting.
So from a pizza perspective, I do love... I mean, do you guys create your own or how sort of adventurous? I don't want to...
I can never be bothered, but, I mean, you can do whatever you want.
I think
the pizza order is yours.
I think I'm going to get an American hot. I think with I get like a you double on the jalapenos. That would be amazing. Yeah,
it's a good order.
Is that all right?
Yeah, it's a good order.
Okay,
it's meaty, got a bit of spice on it. I'm all over it.
Okay.
You can have one quid point.
One?
Yeah, just one.
Do I have to write them down?
No, we'll keep a score.
Oh, you've got it. Okay, on the laptops.
I mean, I would if I were you, just in case you get duped of any. But,
yeah, okay,
you
know, one.
One. So that's all that stuff out of the way. What I really want to get down to is you've worked in agencies for a long time, as you said, you did a decade. Where was that? 383, did you say?
383, yeah, did a decade there, a couple of years before that, a company called Matrix.
And that was the production agency.
Yeah, they were kind of a production house. So their clients were other agencies. So they were making, like, ads would come in, and they were in kind of a format, and they would, you know, kind of turn around, you know, incredible enhancement work and you know, kind of artwork and Photoshop and production stuff. A great professional foundation. Managing director there, a guy called Cole Prosser, and my first sort of direct boss, Caroline Maddox, just gave me a very professional first footing in things. I really enjoyed it. I went there as like an account manager. Had some weird clients, like some of my first clients was part of the business that served agencies. We were kind of the direct client people. And we'd won this contract, and we were working with charities, which was really, really lovely. But kind of very, very small charities.
Yeah.
So, you know, sort of £500 website kind of projects and business cards that are all in and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, that was a learning curve. And then, you know, 383 came, so 2 years after starting at Matrix.
So you are now MD of what is like a really new and exciting thing for McCann to be rolling out.
Yeah.
Something we always start with is, how's your week been? I'd love to know what your previous week has been like as MD of such a, you know, new and exciting thing in such a huge company.
Big. And we are like a startup, right? So we're doing exactly what we're telling our clients they should do, which is to build these kind of prototype businesses inside the bigger organization, give them some money, and let them grow and develop. So I'm going to look at my calendar, because that's how things are at the moment. I don't think I can tell you what happened this week unless I have a look. And when we say last week, do we mean like, we mean up to today?
Yeah, like, you know, just
pretty much.
It's just you know, I'm not gonna have a look at it myself and check whether you're telling the truth.
No,
you know,
it's fine.
You can blag it.
It's been a really great week. There's a huge pitch for a global financial services brand, which is going for very well. It's also
nice.
It's kind of interesting to hear that, but it's relatively sort of anonymous. Then I spent part of the week working with a huge funeral company, looking at the future of death. And
see, this really interests me. So
it's really interesting.
Over the last couple of months, obviously a bit of a weird thing to interest me, but I've heard on the radio where through radio ads at the minute where I can't think of the company, so maybe the advert's not great, but that it's all about dealing with the funeral arrangements. It's that mm-hmm. fast service of being able to deal with funeral arrangement. And when I'm listening to it, I thought, there's some disruption in that market, isn't there? Because you look at that market as a whole and you go, that hasn't changed ever.
It literally hasn't changed for hundreds of years. And my favourite clients are clients who are old, big companies, very traditional sort of sectors, because things haven't moved that quickly, and now they are, right? So, you know, working with a funeral company, maybe I'm a little bit morbid, a little bit maybe, but I just think it's really interesting, right? Like, no one ever talks about it.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, there are a ton of really interesting startups playing in this death tech space, which is
death tech. Is that a thing?
Which is absolutely a thing. If you want to
death tech,
and there's some really interesting stuff going on, right? So there's some people who develop it, are like Uberizing, kind of funeral. So I've got a body, need to burn it, send that away, get it burned, get it back, and then you can do what you want with it, right? Because the challenge these days is we're obviously a more secular society, And so services aren't what they used to be. And with services not being what they used to be, not necessarily religious, all that sort of stuff,
yeah.
You know, the fees aren't there for the funeral company. So they're looking at other ways to monetize that. So that was like, I went from global financial services brand to...
Into death tech.
Then I was in Bristol on Wednesday. We got a lovely office in Bristol. Went down there and talked to all the Bristol guys about McCann.io and what it is and what do we mean by transformation, business innovation.
Have you had to do a lot of that in terms of, obviously because it's a new initiative and a new business within the group, you going around and really explain, because I guess because it's so big, that rollout of that type of thing is internally, there's a message to be spread there as well about what McCann are doing from an innovation point of view and how that works. And
for sure.
How there's upsell from their clients have currently got and how you can connect through the just the internal business, let alone everyone else you've got.
Yeah, and you've got you know, essentially two sets of clients, or ultimately as a startup within kind of a bigger company, there are, if not two sets of clients, there's at least two audiences, right? There's the literal clients that you serve on a day-to-day basis. And then there's these thousands of people inside McCann who we need to get to know. The quickest way for us to do that is to sort of get around to all the McCann offices, tell them what it is that we're doing, show them some of the work and the case studies, and then sometimes they'll like stream that for us. So, you know, we are sort of 120 countries, 300 offices, you know, so getting all of those people to see that can be.
The scale of that's insane, isn't it?
It's nuts, but here's the great thing, is that McCann.io is so exciting because within McCann.io we've got a startup sort of culture, you know, move fast and break things to a certain extent. But then you've got the scale, the resources, the talent, the learning development, all of the stuff that you don't really want to be doing as an agency owner. I've been there and done it myself. It's all sort of done.
Yeah,
it's already happening. So that's pretty incredible. Thursday, saw a big pizza company. That was good. And we had fun there.
Is it Pizza Hut?
It was a big. it was a really good global pizza company.
Yeah, not Pizza Hut.
There's lots of like pitching and stuff going on at the minute, which feels good. And when I say pitching, I guess it's not like creative agency pitching.
I was going to say, what is a pitch at McCann.io?
Well, it's not.
You can't go into too much detail.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's fine. I mean, it's not really, because which is a great position to be in, because pitching's expensive. I enjoy doing it, but I take it very personally when I don't win a pitch. So. I mean, the approach that we've taken is to create value for clients first, create a network of really great people that we'd love to work with, and because they're not coming to us with solutions like we need an ad campaign or, you know, we need a TV commercial or we need a radio ad, that they're coming to us with problems. You know, it's hard to go out and pitch for that sort of stuff. So we tend to kind of come in and kind of work through problems with clients. It's really nice.
Collaborative, isn't it, than it is like you say, standing, pitching, working towards that and trying to get it across the line. It's
there's no us going away and coming back with the sort of Don Draper reveal, you know, like four weeks after.
Yeah.
You know, in 4 weeks we'd have liked to have built a business, really, a business model with them.
Right, okay.
So there's loads of new business stuff going on, which is great. There's loads of stuff in terms of kind of getting around the agency. We've got a big event on the 11th of April. We've got head of customer experience at EE coming to talk at that. So it's busy times, and we're hiring as well at the moment, if that's interesting to your podcast listeners.
There you go. Just putting it out there.
Just putting it out there.
Yeah, yeah. What type of roles are you hiring for?
We're hiring for...
Give you a one-minute segment to pitch.
We're hiring for consulting leads. So okay. People who can develop new experiences, products, ventures with clients. We're hiring for client leads, people who can develop client relationships and keep them for the long term. And hiring for program leads who can connect what we're doing in McCann.io back into the rest of, you know, McCann. And back into World Group, And we're doing that all over the UK, so not just in Birmingham. So
nice.
Hit me up. Slide into my DMs.
Where can they get you?
They can get me on Twitter's probably best, at Jacob Dutton.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's going to push his Twitter following as well. It's great.
Slide into my DMs. Yeah,
he knows.
Sure.
He knows.
Yeah.
So we always get to a segment, right, within the podcast where we've asked our guests to bring something that they cannot live without in their working week.
Yeah.
Do you want to get it?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Go on.
It's not my vape.
Yeah, I did wonder if
you'd go, well, I can't live without that either. But here's the thing that I really can't live without. This is my Ancona hot sauce, and I have, and this is genuine, I have a bottle in the office, in the cupboard. I keep a bottle in my bag in case I'm not in the office, and then I have pretty much a shelf full at home. My biggest concern really is being a working day where the lunch consists of like salmon and some brown rice and some spinach. I just freak out. I can't go through a working week without it. If I'm away at a hotel, I've got a crap sort of bland, you know,
beige buffet,
room service or buffet. Gotta have a hot sauce.
You're having two weird points. Just for the commitment. It's odd. I'm not going to lie to you.
Do you think?
Geezer, you're carrying hot sauce around with you. Yeah, you've got an addiction to hot sauce.
Okay, clearly. Yeah.
Potentially. But the commitment's there. You know, you've got 2 litres of it.
I've gone all in with a hot sauce thing.
Which is brilliant. So I'm into it. I wasn't expecting it to be that. I like it though. My next question is, what I was going to ask you was, obviously with like innovation and McCann and all these new things, in order to like disrupt or promote change and innovation, things like that, you've got to be a good leader. And I was going to ask, like, what kind of leader are you? And in my head, I was like, he's a hot sauce leader. This geezer just dishes out hot sauce to everybody he works with. Have you got hot sauce on tap in McCann IO where you're based?
There's tons of hot sauce.
You bought it in yourself.
Tons of hot sauce. There's a cupboard. if other people are joining the team who are of a spicy persuasion.
Of a spicy persuasion.
And we've got you covered. of course.
So what type of leader are you? How would you describe yourself as a leader? Quite a difficult thing to do, actually.
I don't like to manage people, really.
I am like that. Because I think the role of like an MD and a CEO is not necessarily to do that. It's to have a few reports and that's it.
Yeah.
That you know that... very capable of doing the roles, and therefore then you are promoting like people and vision and you know, not having to like, you know, do all that part of it.
Yeah, what kind of leader? I think I'm definitely sort of 6 months. My head's always sort of 6 months, I suppose, in the future in terms of kind of where things need to be. I don't like managing people. I don't like detail. I like to do vision stuff. I don't like to spend too long on things. A little bit ADHD, maybe in that sense. But I'm, I guess people would say, people who've worked for me would say, I guess, very committed. Both to the people who work with me, and to the vision that we've set out together. There's nothing that I'd ask them to do that I wouldn't do, which I know is a cliche, but I think it's important. You know, I don't know, you're ever too senior to be late in the office with the rest of the team helping them out on stuff if needs be. And I think people would probably say that I'm. I think it's like a psychological profile called like a high driver or something like that. It basically is a nice way of saying impatient.
Right, okay.
I think. So I do tend to, I try and involve people as much as I can in making decisions, but once that's done, I do just like to go and do those things. But yeah, I like to think I'm the sort of person that people are going back for, and that's what you can ask for.
Yeah, definitely. So... usually Dan will do these questions, so Jamie's rushed around and got these questions done. So I think they're all based around innovation, are they?
Technology.
Okay. Always not so sure now. So first question. Question one. Did the Apple iPhone first become available in 2005, 2006 or 2007?
2007.
Oh, straight in. Correct.
Ding. Ding. So that's a whole point.
That's a whole point, mate.
Hey, so what's this now?
Four now. Yeah,
right,
come
okay,
on, keep up, mate.
Okay, right. Four. Right.
Question two.
Yeah.
How many characters were originally allowed in a tweet
100.
When Twitter first launched in 2006?
140.
140, correct. Ding.
Ding.
Question three. How old is the world's oldest piece of chewing gum?
What's that got to warn you?
I thought, what are these? Sorry. 2,000, 4,000, or 9,000 years old?
Of chewing gum?
How old is the world's oldest piece of chewing gum?
I thought there was a theme and we've deviated.
We have massively deviated.
Because I was doing quite well, wasn't I?
Yeah.
But you're still going to ask it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, I define chewing gum.
I can't define it because that's all the info I've got.
That's
mate.
All you've got.
Yeah, that's all I've got. Producer Jamie's thrown this at me. How is this technology based, mate? Do you want to answer here or what? Are you? Yeah.
Chewing gum is a, I would say, one of the greatest technological advancements in human history.
You like chewing gum, do you, mate?
Yes.
I think that Jacob would argue that hot sauces, but you know.
I mean, spicy chewing gum would be there.
Oh, yeah, hot sauce chewing gum.
The thing is, I guess chewing gum was an innovation, wasn't it, at some point?
Absolutely.
If I can just take you off on a complete detour around. Because
that's just what an innovator would say, isn't it?
because I guess before that, what were people chewing? They were chewing tobacco, stuff that wasn't that great for you.
Yeah.
And chewing gum. At school, there's the whole thing about, it's whale. You heard this thing?
No, sorry, what?
At school, the chewing gum was made of whale-like intestine. I don't know if that's true.
Is this a thing? Is that true?
I don't know. Anyway, what were the thousands
2000,
of years?
2,000, 4,000, and 9,000.
It's bollocks. It can't be. It can't be any of those things. 2,000.
9,000 years old.
Well, that rubbish.
What on earth?
Nonsense.
That answer.
I don't know. Blame Google, mate.
Blame Google, mate. That is a wank answer and a wank question.
Yeah.
Question four.
God.
No. We're back on the. We're back on
okay,
the theme. You're
fine,
all right.
Fine.
When was Facebook founded?
Yeah.
You don't have any multiple choices here.
Oh right. Okay. Well, the web is 30 years old today. Do you know that?
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow, what a great day to have an MD of innovation
on. Yeah.
Wow, 30 years old.
30 years old today, yeah. I still remember they were playing the dial-up tone on the news earlier. It was like, oh, do you remember this? Yeah. Get off the phone, mum.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on AOL.
What messenger?
When I think it's later than you think, I think that's probably 2004.
Wow. Bang on the button.
Yep.
Ding, ding, ding. And what I'm going to give you is 2 points for that because that previous question was so shit.
Thank you.
Yeah?
So what's that now?
Four out of four there, and I'm waiting on... Yeah, it's question five is now happening.
So that's 7 points. So I've already...
Oh, I'm not asking him that. Right, okay, well, I'm going to ask you. You're going to get 5 points here.
Okay.
What virtual reality headset does Facebook make?
Oculus Rift.
I mean... Unless he's been... The geezer's MD of innovation. If he doesn't know that, I'd tell him to fuck off from the podcast.
I mean, this was my concern at the beginning of the questions, was is this the end of my tenure as MD?
No, clearly not. You answered all the questions in the correct way. You get a first 5 out of 5 on the whib
so, and that's
quiz.
8 points.
That is 8 points. That puts you... I mean, by the way, I just want to point out, though, you can lose them during the podcast. Just, you know, from being a bit of a dick or something like that. You know. I do have my final question. I had two questions I wanted to ask you. One was surrounding construction because, you know, where we're based and how we've come from. And do you see, I don't know what you know about the construction industry or how well placed you are to answer this, but from an innovation point of view, the construction industry has always been quite far behind. Certainly from a marketing point of view anyway.
Yeah.
I think there's lots of technology advancements happening through construction. Absolutely. You've got, you know, robots building brick walls and plastering and trying to, you know, shop fit and stuff. Now, they're a way off being able to actually go anywhere near a site. But from a marketing angle perspective, construction brands and merchants and stuff have always been quite far far behind. Do you think there's do you see anything that's happening in other sectors that might creep into the construction industry?
I mean you say that. I guess when I talk about innovation, what I'm talking about is like a new customer experience is an innovation, right? So a, you know, click and collect.
Yes.
As a model.
Yeah.
Used to be collect by car at Marks and Spencer's years ago, where you could do your shopping, leave behind the till, go to Greg's, wherever, come back, and then you drive to this thing and you shop and be there. And that was amazing, right? There's no technology involved. It's still quite cool.
Yeah.
Or it's like a new product. And by new product, I don't mean digital product, like could be like a new
hot sauce.
Could be a new any kind of hot sauce available at all good
agents. Geezer's got shares in
can absolutely send me some if they'd like to.
As reaching out as a sponsor for this show, I think.
Absolutely. Or it could be a completely new business model, right? Like the you know, like the App Store as a service business. So when we talk about innovation, like it's definitely not always about technology. And I think innovation is about the creation of value to the customer, creating new value, and enabling a company to capture that value. So if you look at it through that lens, and not necessarily technology, I think there's actually quite a lot happening, I think, in terms of new product development from a tool perspective. Also, you look at like merchant models, look at Built, by Travis Perkins. So I worked on the early versions of Built with Nick Thomas, and Nick was...
I know Nick quite well, actually.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, right, nice guy, good golfer.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, he's never said that.
Yeah.
Good, I'm glad you've told
that. Well, I assume so, because he's at quite a nice golf club.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Just because he's got loads of
dough. Don't I sound like a guy from St. Caulfield?
Yeah, you do.
Dick.
Nick is someone I want to get on the podcast because I think he's got a great history in terms of what he's done and
really interesting
what he did with his initial business,
the clogs.
Clogs. And then moved into the works and completely flipped that around and digitized that. And again, what he's doing with Built's a smart...
He's an incredible guy.
Smart business, and he you talk about people who are always on. That geezer does not switch off. His brain is like moving at a million miles an hour. But yeah, it's those types of things. So I completely agree. Yeah. So from the merchant world, I guess there are certain things that are happening, but then you've got others that still don't even have pricing systems in, or like they've still not got a fixed price model, you know. And there's huge sways of like difference between same sectors or within the industry.
There is, yeah. I mean, look,
scales of difference.
I mean, take a Screwfix for example. Screwfix have led from a customer experience point of view for a long period of time. It is a great experience being a customer of Screwfix. But then, you know, yeah, the other end of the scale, the smaller groups, maybe kind of more independent groups. I think the big concern for any business today, especially in retail, is if Amazon turned this on tomorrow, would my business disappear? And I think if you can confidently say no, I don't think it would. I think you're fine. But I think that's a good acid test. Like if Amazon were going to like launch an innovation consultancy tomorrow, would I be, you know, out of a job? Yeah, because I think I'd probably listen to Amazon, right?
Yeah,
because they've done
Jeff it. Seems to be doing all right, doesn't he?
He's doing all right. He's beefed up quite a bit as well.
Yeah, have you seen him? Yeah, seen Jeff 2.0.
He's massive.
I love that picture where you see him. He's like, see him in the bookstore in that desk with that Amazon banner, and then the next one where he's got that gilet on with the shades. He looks like someone got a Terminator.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great picture.
He's like there are a few industries that aren't being disrupted by Amazon. I mean, the other thing that I think about quite a lot of the time is, because these are just sorts of things I think about, is if people are buying less houses, right, generally speaking,
yeah,
because it's expensive to buy a house and deposits are massive, and you consider that as like a macro thing that's going on up here, then surely the people who live in those houses are either tenants, because they don't own their own homes,
yeah,
are doing less in terms of improvement stuff. So that has an impact, you would think, on the industry, right? Because instead of people doing stuff because they feel like, oh, we might redecorate that room, or wouldn't it be nice if we put a patio out there or whatever, it's not up to them anymore, or they're not going to be there long enough. So, you know, I worry about what are the new business models that construction industry needs to bring to market to counter that threat, because I think that it is, you know, when everyone just lives, you know, in a landlord's place, then what will happen?
I think that the rental market will change though as well in that scenario. So I think what happened is, rather than it being something that is short term and quite flexible, really, because rentals are, once you pass a 6 month, you know, you can go on rolling months and all this type of thing, but you're very restricted in what you can do. I think you'll end up having this scenario where families will be renting and it'll be more long term. They'll be like 5 years, and then you'll be allowed to do whatever you, I guess, like a business lease, you know, like we have to hand this back in exactly the same scenario, but we can do pretty much what we want with it in that period. So I think I think that will happen.
Yeah.
But then,
but there's loads of innovation there, though, isn't there?
Like, well, of course there is. Look at even the, it's like a refit. When you need to hand it back. Like, look at the scale of that.
Absolutely.
Families aren't doing that. Doesn't matter whether you're DOR or not. You ain't doing that.
But all of a sudden, you know, what if there's a system that where you can kind of decorate and undecorate, like, you know.
And who's doing that in the rental market at the minute for families anyway? That more like longer look at where they need to stay. You know, you got schools and things like that. You got when your kids to go to a good school, so you move to a certain area. If you can't afford to buy there, then why can't you rent on a long-term basis and feel more comfortable and be more stable in knowing that you've got that for a certain period of time, etc. So there's it's good to house market's always good to innovate into, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I'm just thinking about that. You know, what are the macro things that are going to affect whether people are going and buying like a power tour tomorrow, right? I think it's stuff like that.
Yeah,
potentially.
Yeah, definitely. And then my final question, because we're at the 50-minute warning, Jamie's got big red letters on me, is what is your favourite innovation, product, service, company, in the last, there's no time frame on this, but maybe in the last ever?
Ever?
How about that? Is that too broad? In the last 12 months, what's your what do you see as the most exciting innovation that's happened?
Do you know what? Let me have a look at my phone, because when I'm writing blogs and stuff, I tend to look at my phone and think, oh yeah, because that's like an actual company, isn't it, rather than just an app on my phone. I think that Gusto is one of the best things that I do, for sure. I mean, I closed my NatWest account, fully Monzo. Don't
same
shop for clothes.
Were there wanky agency people who go, oh, yo, have you not got Monzo?
it is a hashtag, fully Monzo.
Yeah. Joint account, everything.
We've got a joint account as well. Yeah,
I'm loving it.
Although two different coloured cards, please.
Oh my! Exactly what I said. I was so disappointed. Like Monzo, if you ever listen, I want to try and get the CEO. I can't remember what his name is, but I've listened to
I know the design product. Director there.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I'm a design director. A good link.
But I was so annoyed. I love that service. I love the app. I love the
amazing.
The process of actually receiving my card, the card it comes in, how easy it is to do. And when I opened that joint account card and it was the same freaking coral colour as my personal, I was like, come on, you've thought of everything, but just make it yellow. I mean, as a turquoise. Like, what are you doing?
You can just imagine some of the hilarity that might ensue, can't you? Of tapping, you know, like the same coloured joint account card in the wrong situation.
Exactly. It's I was really frustrated by that. It's the one point in Monzo that I was disappointed.
It is a weird thing.
So you think Gusto is your favourite?
I think Gusto is the best thing, because look, I think it's creating value for me, isn't it? So it's not really just about the meal when Gusto deliver food to your door. What it is for me is it's not thinking about what we're gonna have for dinner or eat this week, and it's not thinking about who's gonna go to the shop and pick it up. It's not thinking about I've got to buy, you know, half a gallon of cumin seeds for this teaspoon that I need in this recipe. It solves all, it takes it all away. And the CEO there, a guy called Timo, deserves all the success. It's a great business.
I've used Mindful Chef.
Yeah.
I tried with the one time we tried to use Gusto, and it was like over the Christmas period when we went on, they had like two meals that were available out of 30, and I was like, wow, we've either come at the wrong point.
Yeah.
But I've heard really good things about
it's incredible.
And then what's
HelloFresh.
HelloFresh, I've used that as well. But then I've cancelled Mindful Chef as of last week, just based on the fact that I had five meals come through and I didn't use any of them because my working week went
a bit weird. Bizarre.
Yeah, I didn't turn up at home.
I will. I'll send my Gusto link.
To here you. He is. He's
and also to any of the subscribers who would like to get a Monza.
He's got an affiliate. He's got a pyramid scheme running for the podcast.
He's just a multi-level marketing guest.
So the final thing I'm going to end with,
yeah,
is our aim with this podcast, mm-hmm, is to get Jennifer Lawrence and, mm, Tom Hanks on the podcast. Maybe not at the same time.
Yeah,
if we can get them at the same time, that'd be great.
I think either would be great.
Yes, I agree. So we're using the whole 6 degrees of separation. With every guest, we ask them who they can connect us with to get on the podcast to get us one step closer to Tom Hanks or Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
James done a great job getting you on.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly well connected. Lots of brands, lots of CEOs. Mm. I never know who you're going to suggest as a guest.
A guy who actually until last week was chief commercial officer at Villa. So Tom Hanks is famously an Aston,
yes,
Villa fan, as we know, because predominantly they are the greatest team that the world has ever seen.
Yes,
as we know.
Yes. Shut up, mate. He's a Baggies fan, Jamie is.
I've not heard of them. And I mean, along with Prince William and you know, our former Prime Minister and Governor of the Bank of England,
yeah,
Tom Hanks is huge, huge Villa fan. And I think that Luke, who's the old Chief Commercial Officer at Villa, would know Tom or Tom's people, because he has people.
Of course he does. It's Tom Hanks.
He's just gone to an agency, Luke Organ, and I'm going to put you in touch because I think that as Chief Commercial Officer, having done some stuff with Tom from a press point of view, I think he'll know who to put you in touch with.
Amazing. And we can get him on the podcast because he'd be a great guest. See him at Villa. I'm a Villa fan. I mean, come on.
And also, like, really, like, one of the smartest minds in sport, seriously.
That'd be a great guest.
He's another level.
You've outdone yourself. Two guests. You've been a... Oh, yeah, sorry. Quid points.
Yeah.
You need to write your own... As Jamie wrote it. So to end the show, we're going to... we've got Jacob Dutton. He's going to come in at second place with a solid 8 points, mate. I mean, you've got to be happy with that.
I think,
and actually, I'm giving you two more for two great guests. So you're getting 10.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That is good.
Mate, you dad sounds like a legend. I want to get him on because, you know, he's going to have some great stories. And
thank you very much.
Getting an XCMO Villa as a Villa fan's great, but that's a real step forward with Tom Hanks, that is, mate.
It is. And also, Tom Hanks, don't forget, is very into typewriters.
You've
got to start thinking laterally about who's in the typewriter world.
Is there a typewriter world? Come on.
Not in my world.
No, but there is.
Yeah.
And we're going to get whoever is Mr. Yeah. Typewriter world, well, Mrs., we are getting him in here. That is a fact.
Correct.
So you are second placed, Jacob. Wicked. 10 points. Pizza will be here in a minute. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on, mate.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure being here.
Do you want to give a little bit of plug for any, you know, I know that you've got your own website as an innovation consultant. You've got, obviously, the McCann stuff. You've already plugged your Twitter. Do you want to give yourself a little...
I don't think so. I've got to head to my Twitter and there's a newsletter link in my bio if you wanted to sign up to it. 12,000 people do.
How many people? 12,000?
12,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty decent, isn't it?
So you could join them and get some interesting things.
Let's get whoever the one listener is, you need to get it 12,001, please. That'd be great. But yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, mate. And hope you've enjoyed it and look forward to seeing what happens at McCann.io. And I'm sure we'll chat further about it. I've actually got some interesting things coming up that I would like to talk to you about anyway, which would be great.
Yeah,
absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Cheers.